Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Thursday, April the 23rd. Coming up, a Kent woman leads a demo outside Parliament calling for the age women have their first mammogram to be lowered.
There are so many women out there that are not eligible for the current screening age and they are being diagnosed far too young. And it's so important, you know, early detection saves lives and it's cost effective in the long run.
Business owners in a part of Kent say new parking charges are affecting their trade.
Small businesses are the ones that are really struggling. Everything's gone up for everybody, not just for us, but other people are struggling. Why should they have to pay car parking charges to come out?
And Knights and Dragons take to the streets of Kent to mark St George's Day.
It's about celebrating England in the context of today, 2026, and celebrating in its widest context, celebrating its diversity, celebrating, you know, the communities and celebrating the artistic excellence we have in this country.
But first, the government's due to sign a new multi-million pound deal with France today in a further attempt to try and stop small boat channel crossings to Kent. It'll see hundreds more police and military personnel deployed to French beaches. More than 41,000 people made the journey to the county via small boat last year, beating previous records. Well, it's understood a 50-strong squad of officers could be deployed to the water's edge. We've been getting reaction from Charlotte Khan, who's from refugee charity Care for Calais.
This will achieve nothing. It will be incredibly expensive. It will cost a great deal to the UK. However, the cost that I'm most worried about is the cost of lives lost in the channel. People will continue to die in our channel unnecessarily. And those people's deaths will lie on the conscience of government if they still have any. We are seeing no results from any of these deterrent-based policies that various governments now have tried. They do not work. It's incredibly frustrating working in this sector and seeing the human cost of this, knowing there is a solution to this that the government is refusing to try, and that is safe routes for people to cross the channel in order to claim asylum and to join the asylum system. No shortcuts, nothing like that. We're not asking for anything like that, just a way for people to be able to cross the channel without risking their lives and the lives of their families.
Yeah, you say about those risking their lives. I mean, we saw only too recently, didn't we, a couple of weeks ago, two people died in the channel and more than 40 others were rescued. And that's at a time when these patrols have still been taking place on the beach. So I guess that kind of highlights the point you're trying to make.
Absolutely. Absolutely. People have to realise why, you know, people seeking safety are getting into these boats. They are fleeing war, persecution. They are still looking for their safe place. They have not found it in the route so far. So these deterrent-based policies simply do not work. Look, you might die in the channel. That's deterrent enough, and people still are desperate enough to use those routes. So just common sense dictates that there has to be another solution offered. Now, that has been offered. We have, you know, actual evidence that when you offer a safe route to someone seeking safety, they will take it. And that's the Ukrainian policy that thankfully was brought in. I mean, I'm overjoyed that Ukrainians never had to risk their life in the channel. That is exactly how people seeking safety should be treated. And this should be opened up so that people can join the asylum system in the UK without having to risk their life in the channel. So we have solid evidence there that safe routes works. It stops the small boats crossing. If the government are really serious about that, if that's really what they want to do, then this is what they will try. This won't work. This is just more millions and millions of pounds being spent, but lives being lost in the channel, people dying. We must wake up. We have to wake up. This is a desperate, desperate situation.
Elsewhere, two men have been arrested during raids in Kent in the East Midlands as part of an investigation into a suspected people smuggling network. The 27 and 29-year-olds were detained in Folkestone and Nottingham on suspicion of money laundering. A group are thought to have brought asylum seekers into the UK via small boats before employing them at businesses. Six police officers have been injured in an attack after pulling over a car in Dartford. They stopped the vehicle in Carlisle Road just after one yesterday morning. Two PCs were taken to hospital. Five men from London and Dartford were arrested and remain in custody. Meantime, police investigating reports of a race attack at Dover Leisure Centre have charged a suspect. A man in his 50s was treated in hospital for facial injuries after it happened in the Whitfield part of town earlier this month. A 36-year-old from Canterbury was arrested and is also accused of another incident in Aylsham. He's due in court next month.
Kent Online News.
Next on the podcast, and friends and family of a girl from Sittingbourne who took her own life are calling for mandatory suicide risk assessments for young people. Ella Louise Murray died at the age of 13, just 2 days after telling teachers she wanted to end her life and being admitted to A&E. She was seen by a mental health nurse and deemed a medium risk before being sent home. A government petition has been launched calling for the assessments to be done when a child in hospital care expresses intent to harm themselves. A police officer who was involved in a crash that killed his colleague has been discharged from hospital. 27-year-old PC Bradley Cork died in the collision on the A20 near Swanley while responding to an emergency call on March the 19th. The other officer suffered serious injuries, but the force has confirmed he's now been allowed home. An investigation's underway after a teenage boy reportedly approached a girl in Sittingbourne and made offensive comments. It happened in Albany Park the other afternoon. The suspect wasn't known to the victim and is said to have been wearing a red hoodie. Now, a Kent chemotherapy nurse is leading a rally outside the Houses of Parliament today, calling for the age when women first have a mammogram to be lowered. Routine screening currently starts between 50 and 53, but Gemma Reeves wants it lowered to 40. Her petition has reached more than 100,000 signatures, and she's been telling us why the change is so important.
Breast screening programme was implemented in 1988 and the age has not been amended. It was extended, like it was raised to 71, but it's never been lowered. It was trialled for a little while, but a lot of countries do screen from 40 and they do screen annually. So I think, you know, in England we're a bit behind the times, and actually we need to review our evidence and make a bit of a change, really, because there are so many women out there that are not eligible for the current screening age and they are being diagnosed far too young. And it is so important, you know, early detection saves lives and it's cost effective in the long run. Also, a lot of my patients that I treat are so supportive with this, especially the young patients that are coming through the door. You know, a lot of them know somebody that has been diagnosed recently, and I've had a couple of friends diagnosed recently. And actually, we need to be doing more. We need to be looking after our people. And actually, you know, from the health secretary point of view, you know, Wes Streeting, he is a people's person. And, you know, hopefully he will deliver.
Women in pink shirts and bras will take part in the demonstration.
Kent Online reports.
A house near New Romney has been destroyed in a large fire which forced a nearby railway line to close. The blaze broke out at the property on Seaview Road in Greatstone just before 10 yesterday morning. We're told no one was injured, but services on part of the Romney Hythe and Dymchurch route had to be temporarily suspended. It's believed, meantime, a house fire in Ramsgate was sparked by a lithium-ion battery. Crews were called to the blaze on Margate Road just after 2 yesterday afternoon. Kent Fire and Rescue say it was most likely started by the battery, which was on charge. One person was treated by paramedics. Police say increased patrols in Gillingham has led to a drop in burglaries, thefts and sexual offences. There have been more officers in the town centre after concerns were raised by residents and business owners. The force says it's resulted in almost 10% fewer offences in the first 3 months of the year compared to 2025. Now, this is one of our most read stories on the website today. There are calls for parking charges introduced in part of Sheppey to be scrapped because of the impact it's apparently having on local businesses. Now, traders in Queenborough say they've noticed a drop in footfall since the start of the month when motorists were made to pay. Some of them have been speaking to Megan Shaw from our colleagues at KMTV.
Small businesses are the ones that are really struggling. Everything's gone up. For everybody, not just for us, but other people are struggling. Why should they have to pay car parking charges to come out? Everyone is. We're all that. If you're coming to Queenborough, which here, you've got the Dutchman, the old house. You've got a little, the blue hut, which is on there for selling fish. That's it. You're not going to a great big place where you've got other things you're going to do. You're coming to support small businesses, and they've not listened. We took up a petition saying that. We had something like over 2,000 signatures, and they ignored that. Honestly, I know I sound a bit thing, but that's what their job is to do. They're to listen to us, and they haven't. They've just ignored us.
It's affecting us massively. The car park's empty every single day. During the week, the sun's out. We've got usual people in the garden and stuff. We're having no one at the minute. Very, very quiet. Parties, everything is just at least halved.
Is it really kind of, is it a worry for you? You know, that kind of business might...
Yeah, of course, because we'll end up closing if we don't get busy. So we need it to go back to free parking.
This is the biggest problem in Ireland at the moment, because we are a small business. Especially, I am the small business, and this place, eating place. People has to be spend minimum 1 hour to eat, cooking their breakfast or food, and sitting, eating. Take minimum 1 hour, but the car park they charge them, which is an expensive charge. They start expensive. This affect my business so much. That's why I know the all customers love my food. They love my service. That's why I don't want to lose my customers, and I offer them. If they park their car in the park, I will pay them first 1 hour. But I can do this. I do this now. But if this times to 1 year every day, if I pay them, it's cost me too much money.
Now, the fees are expected to generate much needed revenue for the local council. And a spokesman says the charges are in fact lower than those in many neighbouring coastal areas. Well, we'd like to know your views today. Perhaps you're another business owner in the area or you visit there regularly. You can leave a comment within the story at Kent Online or via our socials.
Kent Online reports.
A hand-painted advert on the side of a building in Maidstone has been targeted by vandals. At Kent Online, you can see the graffiti that's been sprayed on the property in Bower Lane in the Fant part of town. Work's underway to see how it can be removed and the original artwork restored. Demolition work has started on a fire-damaged town centre building in Ashford. The blaze broke out at Swanton House next to Ashford College on Elwick Road last month. It's being replaced with 34 flats across two blocks. Work to knock it down is expected to be completed by the end of the month. Next today, and a Whitstable dad says he's been inspired to help others with Tourette syndrome after watching I Swear. The BAFTA-winning film tells the story of a man living with the condition. Now, Frankie Lowe was only diagnosed last year despite having tics since he was a child. The 30-year-old says it's often misunderstood.
I wanted to start a fundraiser to raise awareness of the condition, as not many people realise how severe living with it can be. On a day-to-day basis, it can be painful, depressing, isolating, embarrassing, and even debilitating. After travelling from Kent to Chelsea in London to experience a support group for myself, I realised quite quickly that it's not always possible for other people to do this, whether it be they have no transport of their own and have to pay for public transport, or the matter that there's not actually many groups in Kent or other local areas. A private funded diagnosis can cost over £1,000, or for the NHS to make a referral, the process can be a really long wait time. Tourette's Action arranges incredible activity days and weekends away for all ages that allow people to meet others with the condition, make friends, and have the freedom to be themselves without judgment. But once again, paying for the travel and fee to join isn't always possible for many. The fundraising can help towards sensory items such as chewy jewellery, which is a wearable silicone necklace that can help reduce anxiety and actually act as a redirective tool for jaw and biting tics. They're designed to help reduce tic severity in a safe way and lessen the urge to perform more disruptive or self-injurious tics. I was definitely inspired by the newest movie, I Swear, that tells the story of John Davidson, who is a prominent campaigner living with Tourette's syndrome. I really wish a film like that had been around when I was growing up, because I've seen how much a huge impact in getting people to understand the condition it has made. Personally, I think the whole scenario concerning the 2026 BAFTA Awards was complete broadcasting negligence. Davidson's outbursts are a manifestation of coprolalia, not reflections of his personal beliefs. And to be honest, I'm still quite hurt and angry that some people expected him to apologise for something he has no control over. No one would ask a person with autism to stop stimming. No one would ask someone with hay fever to stop sneezing. The same should apply to anyone with involuntary tics. Everyone's different and unique, and it's time that more disabilities were noticed and accepted. And I look forward to a day where we don't have to explain ourselves anymore, and that the condition isn't seen as rude, hilarious, or socially unacceptable. We all bleed red, we all cry clear tears and put one foot in front of the other. We all just want to be loved, accepted and understood.
As you heard there, Frank is raising money to support young people and buy resources to help them cope. We've got a link to his fundraiser within the story today at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
A gallery in Canterbury that's not been in regular use since 2019 could be reopened as part of a cultural strategy for the city. Council bosses have approved the 10-year plan, which would see the Sydney Cooper Gallery in St Peter's Street reopened. It also includes refreshing the Danejohn Gardens and digitising the cathedral's archives. The East Kent College Group is going to receive more than £3 million worth of investment to improve its facilities. The college has sites in Canterbury, Broadstairs, Ashford, Sheppey, Dover and Folkestone. The funding is part of the government scheme to modernise buildings by 2030. Community celebrations are taking place across Gravesham and Dartford today to mark St George's Day. Hundreds of children from more than 20 schools are going to be taking part in the festivities, which include parades and live entertainment. Now, the events have been organised by Cohesion Plus, who want to promote unity, friendship and tolerance. And I've been chatting to their artistic director, Govinda Sander.
Feedback every year from schools is really, really positive. And because the events are now so well established, what you find is the schools each year, be a different year group that does it. So for the children, when they do it, it is extra kind of special for them. And as you said, you know, they're learning about creativity, but also learning about the kind of our heritage here in the country. They're also learning about St. George, not only like being the patron saint, but his role as a defender of the faiths. And we've got a key kind of interfaith element, particularly in Gravesham, where we're going to have, you know, representation, not just from the church, but from the Gurdwara, the mosque, from the synagogue. So, we're really trying to push that home. For us, the whole thing about St. George's Day, it's about celebrating England in the context of today, 2026, and celebrating in its widest context, celebrating its diversity, celebrating, you know, the communities, and celebrating the artistic excellence we have in this country.
And I guess that's kind of the same message, as you mentioned, that you're trying to get across with the St. George's Day events as well. It's not just for one group. It's for everybody in well, the whole of Kent, but in particular for North Kent today.
It certainly is. For me, with St. George's Day, we need to use St. George's Day as a way of bringing communities together and celebrate what unites us, not what divides us. And I do, and I say this every year, I passionately believe that, you know, other parts of the country can learn from what we do with St. George's Day and how we bring everyone together. That's what all our work at Cohesion Plus is about. It's about celebrating what unites rather than divides. And I'm so looking forward to putting my shades on and walking in the parade with, you know, with the children and our guests.
Hope you have a fantastic time if you're going along to that. Meantime, the theme for one of Kent's oldest carnivals has been revealed for 2026. Whitstable Carnival's entering its 129th year and includes a parade from Tankerton to the High Street. This year, festivities on the first weekend in August will celebrate the county being known as the Garden of England. And finally, it's National Shakespeare Day, and a production of Hamlet is continuing at Canterbury's Marlow Theatre. It's on an 8-venue tour, and the creative team behind it say audiences wouldn't have seen a version like it before. An audio-described matinee for blind and partially sighted people takes place on Saturday, with visitors able to explore the set, props and costumes before the performance.
Kent Online Sports.
Football and the Maidstone United manager has praised his squad after their victory in the Kent Senior Cup final last night. They beat Tunbridge Angels 2-0 at Gillingham's Priestfield Stadium, despite going down to 10 men in the second half. Well, George Ellacobi will be stepping down as the club's manager at the end of the season, and he spoke to our sports editor, Matthew Panting, after the final whistle.
It's not me, it's our group of players. When we go into any competition, we want to be effective in it. We want to be very competitive, and it's important that we ensure that we put our name in the hat, and we keep creating history. And our group of players, they were magnificent today in doing that for the football club in front of our supporters, and you always look back at an opportunity to be in the finals, which is always good. But also, is to ensure that you win it. You're not just making up the numbers and you pick up the winner's medal. And our group of players have done that today. So a huge congratulations to them.
How difficult was it having this game, though, so close to the big game on Saturday?
It's not difficult, not difficult. It's a game that was the next game for us. And we've prepared the players, properly to ensure that we come out and be effective. We wanted to control territory, we wanted to control possession. And I thought we've done that excellently, even when we went down to 10 men. That didn't impact us, it didn't affect us. We created the better chances to win the game by a country mile. So it's all about game management and, creativity in the final third. And we did that in abundantly today.
And if you live in Margate, you've got the chance to say what a new skate park in the town should look like before plans are submitted. More than £1 million is going to be spent on the facility in Ethelbert Crescent. A drop-in event is taking place at the North Down Road Family Hub today, so you can chat to designers. There's a chance to have a free skate session too. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And whilst you're on the site today, don't forget to check out the latest Eat My Words food review.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.